What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns. A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Could have said, yeah, we'd love for him to be here, but we had a conversation about it.
Like, we'd love for him to be here, but we know that Miles still calls the shots and Miles still runs everything, okay, and it's just not going to be a thing.
Isn't the whole point of, hey, we want Miles to be a better leader? You're just going to, hey, I'd like you to be a better leader?
Hey, I wish I also had $40 million myself personally, but I can wish these things. It doesn't turn it into reality. Like, the moment they gave Myles Garrett that money, I think they thought that this would morph Myles Garrett into a big-time leader. We've known him for a decade, Nick.
Well, okay.
We know who Myles Garrett is.
I think that's okay. I'm not saying you're purposely doing it. It's a bit of cop-out for the Browns. Like, hey, Myles, if you could be a better leader, that'd be a big to-do for us. Like, isn't it something that has to be reinforced? Like, hey, Miles, we know they're voluntary. We'd really like you to be there next week.
It sounds like, according to Jason's reporting, they tried to do some reinforcement last year. That didn't go very well for him either.
Well, but that was before the $40 million.
Yeah, so this is going to all change something. I'm telling you, the more surprising part about all this for me is the idea that people thought Myles Garrett would be anything different this year.
No. So, listen, I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone thought it was just going to happen overnight. But this was the easiest test to pass. Yeah. Like, this was an easy thing. And by the way, he also could have just not posted that he's in Japan right now.
Again, all intentional by him.
Oh, no, agreed.
He's not happy to be here. He didn't want to be here. He wanted to get $40 million a year somewhere else and also play for a Super Bowl, not a team that Vegas thinks is going to win 5.5 games. And that's being optimistic in many ways.
But the second that you sign on the dotted line, like, in 2 years from now, if they still stink, Miles, I'll support your next trade request. 2 years from now. Not next year. 2 years from now. I'll do it. I will. So help me God. The points you'll make then will be just as good as they were the last time before you folded like a cheap accordion. But my problem is, like, okay, now you signed. Now you're complicit. The previous time, what was it, 3 years from the last contract he signed to the trade request?
The initial was a five-year, $125 million.
All right, so 4 years, actually, thing from because mm-hmm. then he signed in 2021.
I think that's right, yeah.
All right, so, all right, you got 4 years. This time, I'll half it. I'll put it for 2 years. I'll do that for you. But the least you could do is acting like you're a hostage.
He was backed into a corner.
They don't pay hostages $40 million a year, Miles.
He gets that, but also I think it was one of the rare times that we've seen, and because this is not the NBA and you don't get to just force where you want to go. It's one of those times where an NFL player was like, hey, my dime, my dance for, and the NFL responded with a to hell it is. No, it isn't, Miles. You're playing our game for reasons X, Y, and Z. And so Miles did what he had to do. He signed the contract.
He didn't have to. He didn't even wait till free agency. It was the limpest fight ever. He didn't even make it to free agency, as if that offer was going to stop materializing on March 15th of this year. He didn't even make it interesting. He went guns a-blazing on Radio Row. And then 4 weeks later, was like, you know what? I really like $40 million. You guys have made a good point here. I'm going to just, I'll be a better leader. Don't you worry.
It was a long 4 weeks. If it was only 4 weeks, it felt like a lifetime to me.
I mean, it was what? Radio Row was February 3rd?
Yeah, but we started the Miles conversations in early January, though. Because we were doing, remember, the Hard Knock stuff that came out and everything. I mean, we were starting those conversations very early January.
At some point, I got to start just realizing, like, you're part... We now have to overcome whatever deficit that you have in terms of leadership. It's not just enough to like not be a leader while you wear a C on your chest, right? That it's not. Now I have to wonder, like, okay, do I need stronger leaders around you because you can't even be bothered to do the basic thing?
You're going
to
get basically the bare minimum. That's what I know the expectation from them is way different than the bare minimum from a leadership standpoint, but that's what I always thought we were going to get, and this is more proof of that.
I was totally fine. By the way, totally fine with that. If Miles never presents himself as a leader like he did at the end of the football season, then flip-flop on the Hard Knocks thing of being like, I've seen it, and it's glorious. And then a week later, there's a trade request. And then a week later is Radio Row. And then 4 weeks later, it's, hey, dinosaur cupcakes, baby. Let me sign here. Like, at some point, you have to have... You need like a neck brace to keep up with Miles' personality turns here in his own...
He goes as the wind goes. But we saw that within that whole stretch of it all, too.
Well, but my point is... Now you have reason to be pissed about it. Previously, it was just Miles being Miles.
Maybe we've just been around him so long. I just don't have the energy to get mad at him.
Yeah, but I think it's different now because he jerked around the organization and he jerked around the city of Cleveland.
But they knew. This is 10 years of Miles. They knew when he was signing that he was not going to do voluntary stuff and he wasn't going to go above and beyond. And I would bet months from now we get some sort of spin being like, man, Miles Garrett has unlocked Mason Graham. He's the reason why Mason Graham is so great. And I bet if we got in private, Mason Graham will be like, yeah, no, he's not really doing anything for me at all.
Well, yeah, he might say that in public because that guy has... Yeah, that dude's all about football, which is a nice way of saying he's devoid of personality.
He is devoid of personality.
We like Miles. By the way, the original.
That'll probably be the spin. If they start winning games, Graminator. And Mason Graham is great. You're the Graham cracker. If Mason Graham turns out to be great, it's going to be like, yeah, well, Miles was there teaching me the entire time. And behind closed doors, Mason Graham will be like, I kind of hate that narrative that's going around. Hasn't really done that much for me.
So you have a different way of looking at the Miles absence, yes?
Not necessarily, just more the idea that I wonder if the team was better if I would care more about this. Like if the team was better, if we'd have a different outcome. And I do think we would. I think if the team was projected to be a 10, 11, 12 win team, then I do think Miles Garrett is there at voluntary OTAs. I think it's because you're projected to be a 5.5 win team. You don't know who your quarterback is. There's zero optimism or anything around this team. That's why I think Miles right now is in Tokyo.
Oh, see, that's the funny thing. For me, this is where you need a Miles Garrett to be a real leader the most. Like when no one's giving you a chance, when your plan is we're going to get back to basics on offense and pray and hope
that we can run the ball. But his whole pitch was he doesn't want to do that. Well, but he doesn't want to be part of.
But the point is this again. This all of this should have changed the second he put pen to paper. It doesn't matter what you want anymore. When you agreed to take the money and you folded after 4 or 5 weeks of a trade request, no, you became complicit with this. So get on board and make it count.
If he got traded to the Lions, I promise you he'd be there at the voluntary OTAs right there with Aiden Hutchinson.
I don't know. I think
he would have been right there. He'd not be in Tokyo right now.
If showing his ass in Cleveland in a big way, of talking a big game and then folding like a cheap accordion. And I'm going to continue to say that 5 weeks later.
That's like number five of the accordion reference today.
If that, I would just love the accordion.
I thought you'd switch it up to cheap suit at some point.
Hungarians love the accordion. That's a true thing.
Big accordion group.
Yeah. Hungarian club growing up, there was always, his name was Steve Powell. And that dude rocked that accordion.
So if I give my wife an accordion, will she just naturally know what to do?
I'm not saying no. I'll tell you that. Okay. Some of us are gifted with it. But the point is,
strange thing to be gifted with.
Like, Miles put the bullseye on his own back. He did this to himself. And so to then turn around, and again, he folded. No one made him take $40 million a year. If he was principled, as he said he was in January, or late February, or early February, let's say it was continuing to go on, it'd be like, yeah, Miles doesn't want to be here. He doesn't have a contract. He hasn't signed a contract extension. Like, Miles lost every bit of goodwill. Half of Cleveland stood up for him. I know that there are tried and true Browns fans, and I have no qualms if you just want to support Miles, and that you had basically you looked at what Miles did initially as a betrayal and then forgave him when he signed the contract. If we've been on opposite sides of this whole thing for the whole time, I get it. This ain't about you. This is about Miles. This is about, at some point, you got to grow up. Because to what you said, the idea of, well, this is intentional, right? It's not a coincidence he posts that he's in Japan the day of OTAs, right? Before everybody's about to get 100 questions about it.
We've seen him go to Japan, and it took, like, what, the St. Ignatius or St. Ed's baseball team to find out he was there? Like, he wanted people to know he was there.
So, like, at some point, if Miles is at some point, dude, just pass the bare minimum. Like, just pass the basic thing. And the team needs leadership more if they're going to be a 5-win team than they do if they're going to be an 11-win team.
Miles is telling you that's not what he signed up for. They can push that message. They can push that message. It's not what he signed up for.
Yeah, but no, when he signed up for it.
No, this is not.
You don't get to pick and choose what you do for $40 million.
Does. Yes, Miles does. That's what he's telling you right now. It is it's his ball game. He gets to decide the rules. That's the whole point. The whole point of this today is so that he gets to dictate the terms.
No.
And you see how it's working? You see how it's working? Stefanski in the clip we played in the first segment?
It's voluntary.
Howard the way that we thought he would.
Kevin the Coddler.
Because they're going to let him do this, and he knows that.
I'm going to tell you right now.
If Stefanski came out and said, I was really disappointed, we gave him $40 million, I expected more from Myles Garrett, that would be a way of sending a message that we do actually expect more. This was Stefanski saying it's voluntary. You go do you.
I'm going to tell you, now you got me frothing here. I'm full froth. Give me my accordion so I don't get in a fight. I'm going to tell you right now, if Mike Vrabel was a head coach, this crap wouldn't pass. If Mike Tomlin was a head coach, this is my biggest problem with Kevin. Is like, you can say something in between, it's voluntary, and he doesn't have to be here. You can say something between that and hammering him. You can say, we talked with Miles, we would have loved for him to be here. He decided that this trip, you can do that. That is a way of expressing what the Browns thought. Mm-hmm. It's a way of expressing what was requested of Miles.
Right.
And by the way, Miles doesn't deserve your protection right now. All right? And I'll be honest with you. If I feel this way, I guarantee you there's not 90 dudes in that locker room that agree with everything. The NFL is so fake with this crap. I guarantee you there's dudes in that locker room that are sick of that game as well. If I'm going to call out about Jameis Winston's fake ass last year, I'm going to do the same thing with Miles. So this has repercussions. And you need everybody rowing the boat in the same direction for you to do something this year and to be more than a 3-win team. Maybe that's what pisses me off. This feels like laying down. This feels like, well, we're not going to be good anyway, so I'm just going to be in Japan. Like, if your highest paid player is thinking that way, second highest paid player is thinking that way, and your first highest paid player is incognito, what chance do you have? What chance do you really have from a leadership perspective? Let's go with Jim in Strongsville. Jim, welcome to the show, Jim.
You know what, Pot? You're black too, buddy. You're the pot in the kettle here.
Easy there, friend.
You left Cleveland. You left Cleveland. Where are your principles, Nick? Then you come back. You're like the LeBron James of Cleveland radio.
Well, yeah. So the difference is I didn't bluff. I told them I'd like a better job. They said no, and then I went to another place, and then I came back for a better job later.
I don't know what you want them to say. You keep saying, like, the Browns had expectations. Yeah, you know what the Browns' expectations were? We'll give you $40 million, which any human being is going to say, yeah, sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have got that elsewhere, Jim.
That was so that he quit wanting a trade. He's never been a leader. I don't know. All of a sudden, you want this guy to be a leader.
They want him to be a leader, Jim, for the love of God. Jason tweeted about it. Jimmy Haslam talked about it.
Nothing's going to change until you get your franchise quarterback. That's where your leadership's got to come from. Look, he's
That's
never been
a
Ray
reductive
Lewis,
take, Jim. That's such a reductive take. You can build a winning culture without Pat Mahomes. And
oh,
yeah,
at
might
least
ebb
he didn't
and flow.
Have to pair up with a superstar like Peterman, like you did. You're like the LeBron James of radio.
People have been saying that.
Couldn't get it done on your own, man. Couldn't get it done on your own. You got to rely on Peterlin.
Well,
I
people
see how you
been
operate
saying that.
Now. Where's Does your $40 you... million? Dollars? You should be demanding it.
Very nice thing that Jim said there.
You can't. Did he? I don't
think it was.
What, Jim?
It was nice to me.
You know what, Jonathan? I'm not always against you. See, buddy?
Yeah. Jim, frig off. Jim at Strongsville there. I like it better when he attacks you.
I noticed. I noticed that. We all noticed
how
that.
How do we start at LeBron and then all of a sudden I'm LeBron with the 2007 Cavs instead of the 2014 Cavs?
We already have a LeBron James of Sports Talk Radio.
That's
here.
True.
We already have one.
LeKen.
It's taken.
216-474-0092. So to Peterlin's point, does it matter what the projection looks like? On whether, so if the Browns were projected to be a 9.5 win team, would that change how you feel about Miles' no-show at voluntary OTAs? Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
I mean, you can't deny it. I know that it seems that you want to try to bury this and not make a big deal out of it. It's just going to be a big deal. They don't have a clear answer at the quarterback position right now. You have a major celebrity. Can't call him a star just yet, but he is what he is. He's a celebrity, and he was a good college quarterback who is one of your quarterbacks that are in the quote-unquote competition, whatever that might mean to the Browns, for your starting quarterback. Yeah, he's going to be one of the biggest stories of the summer, Shedeur Sanders is. I mean, you're just going to have to deal with that.
My question is, when does being the third-string quarterback on one of the teams projected to be one of the worst teams in football, when does that story fade? When does it become, oh, you're just you're a fifth-round pick and a third-stringer? That's what I mean. If he rises, okay, now we're talking. But even the backup, like at what point does that become a story people around the league are just like, all right, not a big deal, unless all the stuff that we don't want to happen starts to materialize. Like, oh, Deion Sanders does a press conference, well, and he's mentioning when he's asked, hey, your son is only the third string quarterback in Cleveland.
That's going to be part of it. Like, this is why there were some people who side-eyed when they drafted him. Because if he deserves to play, I would hope that you play him. But there may be a point, he may very well go out there, and they're not going to tell you that he's terrible, but he may very well go out there and he may struggle with some of the stuff that it takes to actually go out and play a real football game with the NFL to start things off. And if he does that, and he doesn't seem like he's ready, but he does seem like a talented quarterback, these things are going to mix. And there's going to be so much pressure on them to put him out there before he's ready. I mean, that we've seen this happen a bunch of times too. Season starts to get away from you and we get to hear we got to see what we have in him. And my whole thought is, do we? They're a team that's as desperate for a quarterback as anybody I've ever seen. So if you're that desperate to find a QB and you still don't trust him to be out there, then what's that got to say? You may be full of it. The Browns may very well be full of it. But if they're not willing to put him out there, I don't need to see anything out there. I mean, I'm taking this from your book, bud. This came from the DTR conversation. Do we really need to see what we have in DTR? You said that.
Oh, no.
You said we've seen enough.
I've been kind of wondering what the point is of Joe Flacco now that they took the two quarterbacks. Seems to me that that's going to be one that is probably, you know, not going to be in the scheme of things come, you know, September. I think Joe's going to be gone. So then the question is, all right, Pickett, Gabriel, Sanders. What does that look like? You know, if I'm being told he's going to be third string in the preseason, then what happens? You know, what happens as far as, like, we talk about, oh, it's a circus when you have Johnny Manziel. It's a circus when we have Odell Beckham or whatever, you know, circus, whatever. But eventually you have to get to actually a depth chart and a football situation. And if Shedeur Sanders is third string, national reporters are not going to be in Cleveland staked out over a third string quarterback. That to me is why I think you're wrong. I think the story kind of goes away. I don't think there's going to be a lot of interest in that.
Well, this is the summer. I'm not talking about the fall.
Yeah, but I'd say when does it dissipate?
Week one.
You think national reporters are going to be sitting here on pins and needles once we get to the second preseason game and he's a third string quarterback? I do not agree. I do not think they're going to be camped out here for that.
Well. I think there will be some. Yeah, I think there will be some to
see. What are they going
to
be saying every
to
day?
See him play in the second preseason game? To see him to figure out what they? Yeah, they're. I mean, they've sent us.
Well, he was on
sent
scout,
people around.
He was on
less.
Scout team today, getting the Browns ready. Like, I just don't think that's a story.
Is he going to play in the second preseason game?
Oh, they're all going
to. Then there will be plenty of national reporters there to talk about Shedeur Sanders. That's all there is to
and
it.
That and what he did against. Guys that are not going to be on NFL rosters this year?
Yeah, Anthony. Yes. Cool,
man, there really is nothing going on in the NFL this year.
You asked, I'm telling you. You asked and I'm telling you. I can't believe you're surprised by any of this.
I would not, me in Cleveland, I would not care about him as a story if he was in another city not getting any of the real reps and going against.
You got your own problems to get worked up about. And also, I don't believe you would care about that. I think that you would read it. It's still a story that people will click on, and they will still send people to give you the inside stuff on that because he is a major celebrity, and he has a very strong fan base. And now it's up to him to go out there and earn the respect of those that don't care for him or to keep that fan base with him. And so he will have every opportunity to do so because they're a desperate team for quarterbacks. It's weird to have this argument with you, Anthony, because I agree with you in so many ways. Like, if it's right now, the season starts tomorrow, Joe Flacco is my starting quarterback. And then if he's not the starting quarterback, they want Kenny Pickett. So if they have Kenny Pickett to go out there and start, well, then where's Shedeur fit into that? Well, they took Dylan Gabriel before they took Shedeur Sanders.
I mean, that's what I mean. It doesn't sound like he fits at all.
For a lot of folks, it doesn't. So that's the challenge that's there for him. But if you're just talking about human interest, I'm sorry. We're the ones that always talk about SEO and putting Shedeur Sanders in highlights and in all the titles and all the other things that people do. So people will go and find Shedeur Sanders content. So that you're talking about stories, whether or not it's worth it or anything. Hey, I had to sit here and deal with all this crap about Bill Belichick and who he's dating over the last umpteen months. Like, I care, but it's Belichick. It's an old man with a young woman. It's going to be something that people care about. And you could roll your eyes at Shedeur Sanders all you want and go, hey, he's a fifth-round pick. Nope. It's Shedeur Sanders. It's a Hall of Famer's, one of the greatest ever play the position son. He was supposed to go in the first round to a lot of people, no matter how much you want to dispel that. He was supposed to go in the first round to a lot of people, and they wonder why he went in the fifth round. And they wonder whether or not he has it or not. That curiosity is going to drive the way a lot of people see this from outside Cleveland. I think a lot of Browns fans... I agree with you. I think a lot of Browns fans are like, hey, who's the best player we got who can start to help us win some freaking games over here? But from outside, oh, yeah, I think that they are very interested in Shedeur. Let me get to Crystal on the road. Crystal, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I was at there yesterday.
You were where?
I was at practice yesterday, for real. We took our students there because they had perfect attendance, so we were the only ones that were there. All four of them look good. The only person who threw a ball and somebody dropped was Flacco. But Shedeur wasn't throwing to the first string, of course. And he's going to be a topic all summer just because of who he is. I mean, I had a few of them talk about Flacco. A few of them talk about Kenny Pickett. They talked about Shedeur the whole time, except one girl who kept saying, why is he so famous? She didn't know. I had to explain the whole thing to her.
But, okay.
Yeah, he's going to be the topic just because of who he is. His fan base, I mean, I love him, but I'm a Flacco fan, though. So, I mean, it is what it is.
So this is weird. Crystal, stay with me. So there was a guy on the internet saying that he was at practice yesterday.
Right.
So you're a school teacher?
Yes, I am.
Okay, what age group are the kids?
Eighth grade.
Eighth grade, perfect attendance.
Yeah,
that's very nice. Congratulations to that. I'm glad you were paying attention to give us the inside dope on what was going on over there at practice, Crystal. Congratulations to the young kids.
I was looking for you. I thought you were going
to
be there.
Oh, I don't think we were even allowed there, were we? I knew I wasn't able to go anyway yesterday, but I don't think media was allowed yesterday. I think media is in there today.
Ken did not have perfect attendance. So
I did not have perfect attendance.
He was not admitted.
I'm sorry about that, Crystal. I beg your pardon. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the call and have a wonderful day. We actually did have somebody on the inside there. A school teacher with perfect attendance. Or the kids had perfect attendance.
Did she chart every throw? You got to chart every throw if you're there, right?
Well, then she'd be doing more than her own beat reporter who said he wasn't going to chart throws.
I'll have a son who will be in eighth grade next year. Do I force him to go to school even on days that he has a fever so that we can get the dope?
This isn't me. I just want to point out, I'm sorry, champion's pose. I got a school teacher who's willing to call in that she was at practice with her kids who have perfect attendance and report on what she heard of Shedeur Sanders. Oh, he's not a big story at all. He's not going to be the biggest
story.
Felt
like we
summer.
Got more about Flacco's he's day than we got Shedeur.
Well, she said that he did great, and she said the only one she saw with anybody drop a pass was Joe Flacco. That's what she said. Now, of course, I'd have to probably do some more vetting on this. This is Sports Talk Radio. We've had many callers, but at the same
time, I'll take her word for it.
I'm in no position to sit there and doubt Crystal. Now, am I? Teachers teach our America's future. Yeah. Shedeur ain't going to be the story of the summer. No.
I find it weird that eighth graders don't know. There was somebody that didn't know who Shedeur Sanders was. Because every one of my teenage kids knows who he is.
Well, now probably, you got me wondering to ask
probably
people.
Probably more than Kenny Pickett. Well, definitely more than Dylan Gabriel.
How old is eighth grade? 13 years old?
13, 14.
Okay.
Maybe 15, depending on what you've been doing.
How many kids, they don't hold them back anymore,
six.
Owen. Yeah. How
oh, many they do. I'll tell you.
Does anybody, is, okay, are there any other teachers who kids don't know who Shedeur Sanders is? It's got to be in the single digit percents.
She did say it was a girl. I don't know a teenage boy that doesn't know who Shedeur Sanders is, especially in Cleveland, especially the way that the draft went down.
Especially in Northeast Ohio, where last year I saw Shedeur Sanders jerseys, like Colorado, him and Travis Hunter jerseys. I'd never seen a Colorado jersey in my life out here. up until these last couple of years. They're major stars, man. They are major, well, celebrities still. Michael in Parma Heights, you're next up on the Fan.
Super Bowl, Super Browns. Yeah.
Michael's excited. Go ahead.
Get pumped already.
Okay. What do you want to talk about, Michael?
I just want to talk about, did you hear the rumors about New Orleans wanting to trade Chris Olave?
Yes.
I mean, I think that would be a good, I mean, we could probably give, we have two first round picks and a second round pick. I think we could offer them first a second round pick. I mean, we need some wide receivers if we're going to do anything this year.
Can I just draft a wide receiver in the first round next year if I need if I needed to get one?
I'm not trading a first round pick,
Michael,
for
can I just do
the
that?
The Browns need as many first round picks.
Because as much as I rip on Andrew for not being able to draft a wide receiver, and a lot of that is true. I know that we had one that, and thank you for the call. I know we had one that approached 1,000 yards 1 year from the sixth round.
There is no chance.
But he's never drafted one in the first round.
There's no chance I'm trading. And no. These first-round picks that the Browns have this year, theirs and Jacksonville's, are going to be pretty damn big. I think we all understand. You should understand that. You're not trading that for Olave, who, by the way, is, you know, what, he had one nasty concussion last year, but he had two overall that kept him out of games. Only played half the season. Last year, no chance.
216-474-0092. Is he the biggest story of the summer? I think that he is. Well, one of the two biggest stories of the summer in all the NFL. But, I mean, we can't deny it, guys. You might as well steer right into it. It's Shedeur Sanders with this football team. And whether or not that he can rise through the ranks and be a starting quarterback for at any point during the season. I'm not talking week one. At any point during the season for the Cleveland Browns. And what that may look like. That's just the simple truth of the matter.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
I like pushing Owen's buttons there. It's fun. I see why you guys enjoy manipulating me so much, because that was a hoot. Owen got really mad because Owen said when he gets the, if Shador gets the reps, now's the time to get the reps. I don't necessarily agree. I think you start off with who's the leaders in the clubhouse. You always seem to work forward. You go off the top and work your way backwards, it seems. Brad Ward, our good buddy from OBR, want to make sure I'm right about that. Yes, from the OBR. He tweeted at us and he said, once again, it would change daily. We don't know that he's fourth team. We don't. I'm just assuming, was he the only guy that didn't get team reps yesterday or this week? So if you're the only guy that didn't, we don't know that for sure. But if he's the only guy that didn't, well, then I it's safe to assume he's fourth team. But he's the fourth. He's the last quarterback that they took throughout this entire process. It was Kenny. It was Joe. Which a lot of us put Joe ahead of Kenny. I don't know where they have him. We've all discussed it. We probably think they would have Kenny ahead of Joe, much to our chagrin. Then you got Dylan. Then you have Shador. As much as I want to disagree with Lima, it would make perfect sense that when the cameras are on, it's a big public spectacle. He is a major star. He has a major fan base. But he was taken on day three. Yeah, you're probably going to be pretty on point about how you're going to put him in front of the cameras or not put him in front of the cameras in this point. Because if you put him out there, say they had team reps and they had him out there with team reps and somebody else didn't get the team reps, one of us nut jobs would go out there and say that he's already the second team quarterback. One of us would do that. Whether it's fair or not, I think not just one of us, I think many of us would do that. I mean, hell, you already got LeSean McCoy, and I'm not ripping LeSean McCoy for this at all. I mean, he's basically saying, why not? Just go ahead and start him. I mean, Lord Almighty, he has a Shador Sanders is a force. He in media anyway, he is a force, and they want to do this as right as they can. And I think they have to slow this entire process down as much as they possibly can, which is a hard thing to do because we're going to blank. It's going to be late July. It's going to be time for camp. It's going to be time to get going here with what we're doing with an actual season. So that's where Owen has a great point. I just disagree with him because it's like, well, wait a minute. Once you get training camp started, you're off to the races. It's time to get some guys figured out about who you're going to start. So you would put that at the time. I just said, hey, you're not going to get that many chances if you're the fourth team guy or you're the latest guy they took. So if you're not going to get many chances, I think a couple of weeks ago during rookie camp was your time to get some of it. I think eventually you're going to get a couple of cracks at it, but you're probably not going to get too terribly many. So you are right in so many ways that he is a giant story. You can't deny that. I thought you were way off base yesterday. He is the second biggest story in the NFL right now. But they are going to do what they can, not to hold him back, not to stunt his growth, but to stop us from saying ridiculous, irrational, and irresponsible bleep that puts him in a position that he may not be ready for and put the Browns in a position that they're not ready to put him in. Because when we get halfway through the year, this could be a team that's around 500 or just under 500. This is a team that could be a complete disaster, but they still do not want to put him in a position that he is not ready to be in. It doesn't matter. I don't care what our goals are going into this season. I've said it a million times. It feels like this year is basically house money because for us, your jobs aren't on the line, folks. Lima and I, we get to all be the general managers who never get canned for this. So we're not on it. And we got two first round picks to play with next year, everybody. So it's house money to us. House money. For them, it's not. They're going to have to put people that they trust to be in charge of their offense. And if it's not Shador, it's not Shador. I do not want to get to a point in the season where we're going, well, we're going to see what we have in him. Well, I mean, they're desperate for a quarterback. If they don't think that they can see anything in him or Dylan Gabriel, God knows who, then I don't want him to be out there in the field. I guess I'll take their word for it.
I do wonder, like, if this is, calculated, that they have all their setup. Remember, and I do believe Stefanski, when he says, they have really done the work on how to optimize this setup that I have, criticized with four quarterbacks, that they have a plan of attack here, that they're also going to have to do this in the face of a very popular player who has, the fan base that he has nationally. Anybody who's hosts a show here or gotten into a debate about Shador Sanders, they felt it because he has his fans. I mean, Mary Kay said his fans were already outsizing, you know, Johnny Manziel. Now, she said Baker. I still think Baker's fan base was enormous. I thought it was bigger, but whatever. Whatever.
They were certainly vigorous in their support of Baker.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll give credit to the Browns. If they can do all of this and stay to their plan in their setup in the face of having the fans and the fan base that is about to attack them. Because you know, those Shador fans who are Shador first fans, they're not Browns fans. They're not even Colorado fans. They are Shador first fans.
Yeah.
Browns are going to hear it from them when that headline gets out. Mary Kay saying Shador got no team reps. The guy that was supposed to go number two overall or certainly a first round pick at one point. At least that's what we thought. That is going to be thrown
some
in their
of those
face.
People, then some of those people are just going to have to on the internet. And I'm sure it's not all of them, but I'm sure there's going to be a couple. Then they just need to remove their head from their ass. They didn't just draft the guy so they could stick it to him and not give him the chance to ever compete for anything ever. I mean, he's just, it's the NFL. He's going to have to earn it. It's day three. I don't give a damn what happened. I don't know how it happened, but he fell to day three. So you're in a position where you have to earn it now. So the Browns, who haven't had a quarterback in umpteen years since Bernie Kosar, legitimately, who haven't had a quarterback since I was a toddler, they're not going to be in a position where they're just going to stick it to somebody. You're not going to draft a guy in the fifth round and just stuff him in a closet. You're going to eventually give him an opportunity, but you want to do it the right way. Because clearly there's something there that he has to develop with, and they're going to see whether or not he can. And if he can develop with it, then he'll move his way up the depth chart. But they've made it abundantly clear, and everybody else has. While he is a major star, the Browns understand that he starts behind all of them. And as much as I don't like to talk about Kenny Pickett being the starter for this football team, because it's not a sexy thing to talk about, and it's not exciting, and if you and I mean, frankly, let's be serious. If you and I were in Chicago or in any other city, pick any other city other than the AFC North, how much would we be really talking about the Browns? What would we think about the Browns? The Browns are a newsworthy organization, but they make a lot of news for all the wrong reasons. So we wouldn't take them that seriously. So if I hear about great things about Shador Sanders, if I'm a Shador Sanders guy like I was, and I think that he can be a good quarterback, if I'm doing this show in Arizona and I like Shador Sanders, I don't take Kenny Pickett seriously whatsoever. I don't take Joe Flacco seriously. Never played for my organization if I'm in Arizona. And I don't take Dylan Gabriel probably that seriously. I take Shador Sanders seriously. So they're going to have to deal with the outside influence of coming in saying, what are you guys wasting your time with all these other guys for? Shador Sanders was supposed to be a first-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick. What are you doing? Okay, well, they're the ones that get to see him every day. The cameras are only on him one day a week here during the OTAs. All right, so what are you going to do during training camp? There's not very much that you can go from there. So if you're not going to be ready to do it, then you ain't ready to do it because they're a desperate organization looking for a quarterback. So, buddy, if you can't be a starting QB on this team and get first-team reps on this team, I know it's a short amount of time. Sorry, it ain't going to happen. Because this is as open a competition or as open an opportunity. Probably not an open competition. I bet the Browns have somebody they definitely think should be the leader in the clubhouse to be the starting quarterback. I don't think it's as open a competition as we make it out to be. Everybody has a guy. If you're a fan and you have somebody you're rooting for to get that job, they certainly have a guy that they're rooting for to get that job and takes that advantage. But if you can't compete with this, I don't know if you're ever going to really be competitive. It's the Browns. They got four different quarterbacks, four of them. If you can't overcome this, and it's not like you're going up against a grand old man or a legend or a guy that might have got hurt or anything like that, you're going up against Kenny Pickett. You're going up against Joe, and I mean, we've done this a million times. It's not the best quarterback room in the history of football. I think it's more competitive than what some people thought. I think it's fun. I hope it ends up being fun. We'll see what happens during the season. But man, if you can't compete with any of these guys, then either you're just not ready to be competitive or you're just going to never be a guy. It's just that simple.
Can I throw one thing at you about Jerry Jeudy, though? And I don't think that we're, to steal the cliche, talking out of both sides of our mouth on this. It's this. Myles Garrett is the 2023 NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Bowl standout. He's on his way to a Hall of Fame career. And Jerry Jeudy is part of a unit that stunk last year. And for Jerry to achieve what he might want to achieve personally, maybe he thinks he needs to be here to work with Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders because his unit was awful last year. And he had a really good year last year. He had a very nice season. And if he wants to build on that, maybe he thinks from a personal standpoint, as well as a team standpoint, he needs to be here and learn these guys. So I commend him for being here. Terry McLaurin, former Ohio State Buckeye. Terrific football player, right?
Right.
Played his you-know-what off for Washington last year. He's not at OTAs. Laramie Tunsil, traded from Houston to Washington. Terrific offensive lineman. He's not at OTAs. T.J. Watt, terrific defensive end. He's not at OTAs for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So just leave Miles alone. When it's mandatory, he will be there, and he will be ready to go. And Jerry Jeudy will welcome him. Hey, come on in.
It's just funny you brought that up. So I started thinking about all this great defense we've had in Northeast Ohio, or we've had at the professional level.
Yeah.
Over this last year, what you had, you know, Myles Garrett is Defensive Player of the Year. Yep. Evan Mobley is Defensive Player of the Year. And then we had, what, two gold gloves last year, too. Right? Does that matter?
Can Evan play corner?
I don't know. Can Stephen Kwan? Can we get him in there?
He I think Kwan would have a better chance on the football field than Evan Mobley.
Jimenez won.
Be a lot to hit with Evan Mobley out there.
Jimenez won a gold glove last year. And then we picked up Carlos Santana, who also won. Think about all
that's
this
just
great,
wonderful,
all
Andy.
This great defense. Cleveland, home of defense, but not championships. How does that make you?
The basketball team scored. That's as opposed to the football team and the baseball team. You can't beat them. Catch it.
All right. So Jerry Jeudy did come to camp. That was
a
big deal.
Way to go, Jerry.
But he also talked about a number of other things
yesterday.
Because
that ball coming in from Joe Flacco is a lot different than the ball coming
in
from Kenny Pickett.
Well, speaking of Joe Flacco. Yeah,
here comes a football. Catch it.
Jeudy talked about this relationship and
funny spin.
The fact that Joe Flacco is back.
It's been amazing. He actually my locker mate. I have some conversation with him from time to time. You know, he's a great dude. You know, great quarterback. You know, been in the league for a long time. Understand this. You know, and I'm excited to have him.
It could be a good combo, could they? As long as he finds Jeudy and not the other team, we're in great shape.
That was funny
and truthful.
That was.
What do you think of that pairing? And do you think that that has potential to be something special in the NFL? Where does Jeudy sit now in your eyes among wide receivers in the NFL? Because when I look at the Browns depth chart at wide receiver, I'm lukewarm at best.
You're just gonna yell at me, and you're not gonna like me for this. I'm sorry, and I know so many fans, and I love listening to him talk. I'm glad he's on the team. And I have no expectations for Joe Flacco. And if Joe's the starting quarterback this year, I'm going to be very disappointed. I am. And don't get mad at me.
I'm mad at you. I don't think it's a big deal if he's
Joe's not been very good since he left Baltimore. He was pretty good for five games here. And I'm glad he's here. He's an incredible safety net for the team, and he's a terrific quarterback to have on the team. And I mean that. But, man, do I want somebody else to flat out beat him out. And I don't care which one of the other three guys it is. That's not against Joe. His upside is limited. It's limited. Andy, his best days are so far behind him, it's ridiculous. And I like Joe. I do. And, it was so much fun when he was here 2 years ago. And the Browns didn't want him back for whatever reason. Deshaun, Jameis, whatever it is, they didn't want him back. He went to Indy. Indy thought Anthony Richardson was playing terribly. Let's make Flacco the starter. And that didn't last because Joe didn't play very well. And so if Joe has to play here, it screams one thing and one thing only to me. All right, who's the quarterback going to be in 2026? Because they will be drafting someone, and that will be their quarterback of the future. I think there's a chance that they could find their quarterback of the future this year, and it's not going to be Joe. So that's why I'm hoping that Pickett or Gabriel or Sanders look terrific and beat him out.
But he was also in a position last year in Indy where the pressure was on.
you know, we sit around.
He
and
went
talk
2-4 as a starter in Indy last year.
But the pressure was on the entire time that he was there because we all knew that Anthony Richardson was going to be there at some point, right? I mean,
well,
you're not,
necessarily,
but
because
you're not wasting a fourth overall pick.
Oh, it's happened time and time again. Ask the Chargers about Ryan Leaf. Ask the Raiders about Jamarcus Russell. It happens all the time. If you draft a guy and he can't play, you move on. Browns did it here. They didn't think Baker could play. They moved on.
That was also a different kind of situation.
But it's, they wanted the same thing.
But it, what was it moving on or was it?
They wanted an upgrade.
They were dipping their toes in the water to think that they could, to see if they could upgrade. And then all of a sudden they found themselves in a position where they had to overpay to upgrade because they.
And as we all know, they
Baker
shouldn't.
Baker said, I don't want to be here. You don't want me. I don't want you.
Well, all they had to say was, well, tough. That's all they had to say.
Well, why didn't they then?
You ask them. Don't look at me.
I think Baker easily could have ended up. I really don't want to walk down this conversation. We've had it 10,000
Good, but
times.
It's a Joe Flacco conversation.
Yeah.
If Joe's your starter, the other three guys stink, and you're looking for your guy in 2026.
All right, so you will be non-emotional or not surprised if Joe Flacco's the guy that gets cut out of the four.
If they all stay healthy. I think he would be traded. I think there's a chance that Joe gets traded. And I think there's a chance that he's on this team. I think there's a chance that they try to keep all four guys, Andy. I think that might be a challenge.
They would have to see.
To me, Dillon Gabriel is on this team.
Okay.
And to me, Kenny Pickett is on this team. And I think it's going to come down to, do you want four? And did Shadur, if you don't want four, did Shadur show you enough that you can move on from Joe Flacco?
Chuck is in Lyndhurst. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, Charles.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Jeff, before Flacco came here, was it 2 years ago, and he pulled out a lot of his magic. You were the one that said he should stick with flag football.
I don't disagree with that even now. I don't want him to be the starting quarterback, Chuck.
Well, let's hope he pulls out some magic. Let's give him a chance before you shove him away from here.
I'm not shoving him away. What I said was if he beats out the other guy, they don't have their quarterback of the future. That's why I want somebody to beat him out, because I want to have some chance that some quarterback on this team might be here for more than a year or two. That's what I'm hoping for, Chuck.
Joe could win an Olympic gold medal in flag football, though. He could give us the opportunity.
He'd be phenomenal, actually.
I don't think there's anything wrong if Joe Flacco's starting. I don't. If he's the guy that's and yesterday,
but
I know we want to sit around.
What does it say if he doesn't, Andy? It says you might have somebody who could be really good. I mean, you've got three young quarterbacks. Man, don't you want the young guy to win the job? Because if you have a young guy who wins the job, it might mean you have your quarterback. It might mean that. Might. Joe's going to set a bar. Can you beat out Joe Flacco? If you can't, you're not going to be a long-term starting quarterback in the NFL. If you can't beat out Flacco at the age of, 40? Is he 40, 41? If you can't beat him out after limited success, limited since leaving Baltimore, well, then you're not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I just see this as one of these three guys. Should they want to hang out? And one of these four guys, and I know Kevin didn't really want to talk about this yesterday, about the opportunity to keep four quarterbacks. But we all know how brutal this game is, and I would just venture to say that one of these guys might be a little banged up at the end of training camp, and they find themselves injured. Yes. That's right. I can't putt. Is anyone wearing golf shoes?
Dr. Bieber, get over here.
Anyone that wore golf shoes to Muirfield yesterday or tomorrow or going over the weekend, make sure you have your golf shoes on. The good spikes, too, not those plastic things. Make sure you have those because you never know. Someone could get injured while they're going to putt, and they might need a designated putter. And they might need you with your golf shoes on. You can putt for me, can't you? Because you're wearing your golf shoes. Eddie's in Westlake. Hi, Eddie.
Eddie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man? Long time no talk.
Hey, Jeff. I agree with you 100% on what you're saying because I feel the same way. I feel like if they can't beat out Joe Flacco, then it's really an issue moving forward because of the situation. But I feel like in my opinion, you know, the Dylan Gabriel pick is the only pick of Andrew Berry's that I really didn't like at all. And this is what I'm telling you. Dylan Gabriel has played 10 or 12 years in the league. I've said this before. But I feel like Dylan Gabriel was like a panic pick when they, you know, when Milroe or whatever wasn't there, six picks earlier.
Yeah, went to Seattle.
He's on our team right now. But in the history of the National Football League, there's never been a 5'10 starter that didn't have an elite quality. And this kid he doesn't have elite qualities. So, I mean,
it might be accuracy, Eddie. If you're looking for one, it might be accuracy.
It might be, but the only I agree with that. Accuracy would be his elite quality, but there's been so many short quarterbacks that were accurate in college.
Yeah,
when they get to the league, they become backups. It's like in the last 20 years.
Eddie, you're on the money with that. Absolutely on the money.
It's been Drew Brees and it's been Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
you can say that were elite. Now Russell Wilson had elite ability to extend plays and Drew Brees was a tactician with his footwork in the pocket. Guys, and he was six foot. This kid is less than 6 foot, and in the National Football League today, if you can't get out of the way, if you don't have escapability, if you don't have an elite quality, then it's not going to work.
Thank you, Eddie. Appreciate the phone call.
Eddie, thanks. Good to hear from you.
Daryl Ryder was at camp yesterday. He'll join us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. We do have John Fanta coming up in 1 hour's time. He wants to talk a little bit of Guardians today. We'll also get his thoughts on the LeBron return rumors as put forth by Bill Simmons. We'll also get his take on, well, OTAs getting started and the quarterback kerfuffle getting started in Cleveland this week as well. And again, if you guys are just joining us, tomorrow's the day that the team meets with the media, so we're going to have some sound there. Going to be a nice big week here talking some Browns football. We also have to get the latest on the stadium kerfuffle between the city, the county, and the Haslams and the city of Brook Park. But if true, this would be a return to the pre-Stefanski era for the Browns. Walk us through this Ben Solak comment.
Yeah, so Ben Solak for ESPN, he was talking, and first he went throughout the idea that the Browns were 3-14 last year, and he goes, another three-win season wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. And he goes, the first collective swell of a fan base wanting to tank for the Arch Manning pick will come October 5th. Browns are starting 0-5. The early season schedule is brutal. Manning will have just beaten the Florida Gators on October 4th in a dazzling 4-touchdown performance. The rallying cry will be the march to Arch, or possibly planning for Manning.
Oh, I hate both of those. The march for Arch or planning for Manning. I'm not chanting that into a microphone.
Well, you can't chant planning for Manning, but it did sound pretty good. It sounded pretty good.
Would it be a planning for Manning? I don't even know. So here's the thing. You can't, if you think this season's going to go where it's most likely to go, which is for a team that's not going to win 500 games or more, right? Or not have a 500 record or more. If you think that's the reality, this absolutely is one of the possibilities. I just think, like, until otherwise, I think we should assume Arch isn't coming out next year.
So that's the part of this, right? I thought to myself, I'm like, I can't find anybody that does this that actually thinks Arch Manning is going to come out.
Yeah.
So are we going to be doing the chance? I don't think we're approaching this season as if it goes poorly, we have Arch Manning. I think we are approaching it. Whereas if it goes poorly and you don't have a quarterback, then we're thinking about the next guy after Arch Manning.
I do think part of the national conversation about quarterbacks in a way to constantly fulfill the hope prophecy is, hey, we've got this one guy we're pointing to. We did it with Caleb Williams for a year. Certainly we did with Andrew Luck back in the day. Every couple years, there's a guy who,
yeah,
a year out, everyone goes, that's, and by the way, we're not always right. Josh Rosen was one of those guys. Christian Hackenbergs was one of the, so there have been, Matt Barkley was one of those guys for like two straight years. So just because there's a name on it attached to it doesn't mean that that name's going to be the one. I just look at it and it's like, it's just not where my mind is. Like I'm somehow living in the space of, I'm pretty confident this season isn't going to be one that makes Browns fans really, truly happy. And I also think it's going to be, I think they're going to be competitive enough, at least early in the season, to make it interesting.
I just don't see Browns fans giving up on the season that quickly when we have too many different areas that you can pivot to.
I mean, 0-5, That's going to be a test.
0-5 stinks, but if you're 0-5 and let's say it's all Joe Flacco starts, don't you still have some optimism that between Gabriel or Shador, one of them can come on and at least give you a spark or something?
Oh, I think 0-5 with Kenny Pickett is the, because then you'll be like, well, I never liked Kenny Pickett. So we can either then turn to Joe or we can turn to one of the rookies.
That's what I'm saying, though. I feel like you have, there's still like a what's behind door B, right? And we'll just blame that quarterback. Whatever that first quarterback is, we'll just blame that quarterback and we'll say, well, they obviously stunk. There's a reason why we were able to get that quarterback. And then we'll just continue on. But I feel like this season, 0-5 won't have us just all of a sudden talking quarterbacks and drafts. Like, we're not going to have Joe DeLeon on in week six.
I also think our mentality's changed a little bit. I think you saw this year, like, I think it was hard for us to go back to what it used to feel like with the draft. Like in 2017, 2018.
Oh, it was, my gosh. It was we tough did. But we did. We talk about it in October in those years.
Well, and not just October, it'd be September. Like, hey, I remember the Myles Garrett, or going into the Myles Garrett draft year. So that's what, 2016 season.
Yeah.
There's a time where I looked around and be like, what are we, you got any quarterbacks? Mitch Trubisky? Like, I remember hearing, like, Mitch had maybe started 4 or 5 games for North Carolina at that point. And people were like, I think he's the guy. I remember being like, shouldn't he start like a couple more games before we have the he's that guy?
I remember being a part on Baskin and Phelps where we did this whole bit where it was like each person got assigned 2 quarterbacks. And you had to give an update every week. Everyone did updates on their quarterbacks that they had. And we just went through, and between us, it was like, you know, 12 different quarterbacks.
All right. I don't hate the idea of having like a quarterback Deadpool.
That's basically what it was.
So basically what it was. Everybody on the show gets to pick a first quarterback and then a B quarterback.
Okay.
And then you can move off one at any point, but you can't move off both at the same point. And just to see.
You got to have the flexibility, because I love getting
it from like week one of the college football season until the draft season.
Okay. I'm in for this because I love nothing more than just lining ourselves up for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
All right. And also staying committed to a quarterback. And I'm awfully loyal to quarterbacks.
Jake, hold this topic for about 2 months. But when college football
starts, we do a draft style.
I think we got to do draft style. Yeah,
and we also got to maybe like do we pick names out of a hat to see who goes first and all the way through, or what?
Wait, can we just do like a randomizer?
We do a cameo where John Fanta then describes who gets the draft order.
I also, that should be okay. Kind of wouldn't be the worst thing to even. I was going to say Fanta in and have him as part of it, but
Fanta
then I
charges
realized.
$80 for a cameo. Did you know that?
$80.
He thinks he's worth $80. He's not at 4 o'clock. He might be.
I mean,
$80 for a John Fanta cameo.
I'm just going to say, if he's charging 80, it's because somebody's paid 80 before.
I think he's got more than one person that's paid it. That's that New York money that he lives in too, though. New Yorkers have an insane, it's like a different world, the amount of money that New York people have.
All right.
They're playing with Monopoly money. Everyone else just isn't.
That is coming up in an hour's time.
I think he plugged it the other day. I looked at it. I was like, $80 for a Fanta cameo. Wow.
I actually think the beauty in this season is I think you should go in not expecting like a person to have it. Because I'll be honest with you, I think the catch 22 is, hey, Bryce Young's going to be the first round pick next year, the number one pick, you know, the first quarterback off the board. And then teams have to work off that, which in time we've seen them go Bryce Young over CJ Stroud. We've seen them go Caleb Williams over Jaden Daniels. We've seen the Baker years were a little different, but I mean, I think there is, that's, I think once you've been anointed as the it quarterback, it becomes harder to make a full decision on it, because the quarterback zeitgeist takes over, and it's just like, it's an assumed fact that Andrew Luck should be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, I don't think it exists right now outside of Arch Manning for a lot of people, and I think that's what makes this upcoming year so fun, right?
Agreed, 100%. If it was just Arch from the March for Arch, I think it'd honestly be awful. Because if you do start talking about it on October 5th, and then you have to carry that all the way to April.
Well, and then also, if you're talking about it in October, you're also not guaranteed to have it either.
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's the other big part of this is then it goes into the.
But what if there's like a Joe Burrow type player that no one saw coming, and then has one of the greatest seasons in college football history?
There's like 3 of them. Drew Aller can be one of those guys. Cade Klubnik could be one of those guys. Oh, there's an Lenore Sellers really could be, but I think he might stay for a third year as a starter.
All those guys were talked up in a different way than Burrow was entering his final year at LSU.
Burrow was maybe a fourth or fifth round pick.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he threw 50 touchdown passes at LSU and it was unreal.
Sam Levitt.
Yeah. It's street I grew up on. It was Levitt, by the way.
Yeah, Levitt.
Yeah.
Not leave it.
Not leave it. No.
Love it?
We didn't love it.
Like it?
Yeah, we liked it.
So they leave it. Sorry. Okay.
I knew you had an end game there.
I knew you did. We were going there.
The point is that there's always going to be somebody that pops up out of nowhere. And who knows? Maybe Drew Aller, for instance, or Nussmeier, or one of these guys, takes himself off of the big board.
So to the original point by Ben Solak, October 5th is incredibly early.
Well, and he also thinks that it comes after a 4-touchdown performance on October 4th. He thinks that's the game for Arch Manning, which is wild considering Arch Manning's thrown 95 career passes.
All right, here's the other part. If this is about Arch Manning, it's going to happen Labor Day weekend if Texas puts boots to asses to Ohio State.
So that's a great point. And that's one that I think is going to be, if he absolutely destroys Ohio State's defense and lights them up, then well, our phone lines are going to be lit up. It's going to go insane.
But so from the Arch side, that's one. But just from the Browns side of things, I don't think Browns fans are going into this expecting them to stink. And I think when you expect your team to stink is when on October 5th or week 6, whatever it is, you turn and go, so what about this draft?
Yeah, I just think we have way too many interesting things and too many interesting quarterbacks to talk about and to be like, well, all right, it's like opening up a new present every few weeks. We'll be like, all right, so what does this quarterback now have to offer? And it's going to be fun. It's a mystery.
So it's like when you're like a little kid and they give you a lot of really small cheap presents.
Instead of one big present.
And then you rifle through like 10 presents that together were like $20. I mean, you stop even understanding what it is when you open up. You're just like, yeah, all right, now on to the next one.
But sometimes you learn that just opening the present was the joy in and of itself.
Look at that. That's
getting yourself a new quarterback sometimes is just the joy in and of itself.
So just putting Dylan Gabriel on the field.
People are going to get gassed up. They're going to get gassed up for Dylan Gabriel's debut.
Too.
You know they are.
Now, the funny thing is, when it's 4 weeks later.
I can't imagine what's going to happen with Shador's debut.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If this thing goes in order of Pickett to Flacco to Dylan to Shador, you're going to be like 1-12, and you're going to have to choose between Shador winning you games in December or the planning for Manning or whatever the hell we're going to call it.
That's going to be a legitimate argument that we have on the station if it goes that direction with the quarterback battle.
216-474-0092, Ben Solak saying in one of his predictions for the Browns that the Browns will have October 5th will be the time when we start talking draft in Cleveland because we'll be 0-5 and Arch Manning will be coming off a strong game. Is that where you think this season's going? Because I'm pretty sure that they're going to be like a 3-14, 4-13 kind of team. I think they are going to be atop the draft. I just think they're going to be really interesting all season long, starting with the quarterback situation, which you pointed out there, and a history repeating itself for Cleveland teams, or is it? That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner's Andy Baskin. Meredith behind the glass and Matt Corrali taking your phone calls at 216-474-0092.
Did you order the colder weather and the rain to get rid of the midges so these guys could have, you know, just perfect weather for throwing the ball, even though it's raining a little bit, but it's still better than having the midges in your face trying to throw the ball, right?
Okay.
That's why. I think you ordered it.
All right, let's go with that. I'm fine with that then.
Okay.
That's what you want to do.
That's what I want to do.
He attracts a lot of controversy. In a lot of comments, and he did as a player, and he does as an analyst, and he's Terry Bradshaw, the former Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback, and now, of course, with Fox Sports, and people think Terry's not good anymore, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I've always liked him. I've always liked his work.
He's at the 19th hole. That's where he is.
Well, he's having a lot of fun. Good for him.
That's what I say.
Good for him.
Hmm?
Terry, the former Steeler quarterback, made an appearance on 103.7 The Buzz.
The Buzz. You're listening to the best in sports talk radio. The Buzz.
In Little Rock, Arkansas.
Hmm.
The Buzz in Little Rock, Arkansas. And he was asked about Aaron Rodgers because that's the big stink going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear that coming up in a little bit. And you're going to love his comment because it's hilarious.
And it just goes to show, when a guy has had the success that Bradshaw has had in his career and he's the age he is, you can say anything and it doesn't matter. That's coming up in a little bit. But the interesting thing for all of us here in Cleveland is he pivoted from talking Aaron Rodgers to talking about who's no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler. And that guy who's no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler is now a Cleveland Brown. And that's quarterback Kenny Pickett. Here is Steeler legend Terry Bradshaw on 103.7.
The Buzz!
In Little Rock, Arkansas, talking about Pickett.
I liked Kenny Pickett. I liked him at Pitt. I know him. I know what he's like. And when they got him to Pittsburgh, here's what they didn't do. They didn't protect him. They didn't.
Was he a first rounder?
He was. They didn't get him on offensive line. They wanted to run the football, but they didn't have an offensive line that could protect, and they didn't have weapons. He had no wide receivers to speak of. You throw a kid in there for 2 years, and you got an offense that doesn't fit and doesn't work, and they can't run because their offensive line is not even good enough for a run-blocking team. And therefore, they say Pickett was a failure. He wasn't a failure. The Steelers were a failure. He's traded to Cleveland, who now has four quarterbacks.
Right.
And Pittsburgh really has one, I guess.
Yeah.
What's that make you think?
I don't know. Is he coming to the dark side or the Brown side?
I don't think he's coming to the Brown side. I think he's on the Kenny Pickett side. I think that's interesting.
I think the argument that he's laid out, we've heard before, and I think that gives us optimism here in Cleveland. I don't think
we've heard it that badly bashing Pittsburgh for what they did when Pickett was there.
Well, especially from someone who obviously is vested in the Steelers.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing. That's where, and I'm not gonna sit here and say that he's going to be the next Sam Darnold or that he's going to be the next Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, who... You know, Baker had to take a step back, and Baker's playing much better now. What I'm going to say is this. Browns fans, I think that we should all be open-minded about this and give the guy a little time to compete against Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders and see what you get. Terry just shredded the Steelers for what happened while he was there. He shredded the offensive line. He said they had no running game. He said the offense was terrible and that the Steelers were the failure. Kenny Pickett wasn't the failure there. During the time Pickett was there, he made 24 starts and he was 14-10 in those starts. And it makes you think a little bit. Okay, he was okay. And we've talked about it. He had some fourth quarter comebacks.
Right.
He did some things that seemed to work. And they were not patient with him. Should they have been patient with him? I don't know. What did they do? They went out, they brought in Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, and Kenny Pickett knew, hey, this isn't going to work for me. I got to go try and reestablish myself. He asked out, and they traded him. Went to Philadelphia. Well, now he's here. I think he's the leading candidate to be the starting quarterback here.
But why? Why? I'm going to tell you why I agree with you.
Okay. I think he's the leading candidate. And I'll give you why, because I'll give you the negatives about the other guys. Shedeur Sanders is a rookie and was still on the board in the fifth round. Dylan Gabriel is a rookie and was still on the board in the third round. What does that mean? We've already gone through this. We've laid it out for you. Guys taken in the third and the fifth round, you keep your fingers crossed that you found a quarterback. And I hope the Browns did. I really do. Why? Because you can't have too many good ones. If you end up with three quarterbacks who can really play here, good. You have trade possibilities. Joe Flacco is certainly not the quarterback of the future here. And though Joe was really good here for a short period of time, he couldn't latch on to the Colts job last year when they gave it to him and replaced Anthony Richardson. They brought Richardson back. Joe's 40. He's not had great success since he's been gone from Baltimore. Pickett is young. He's a veteran. Former first-round pick, whether he should have been or not, he was. And as a starting quarterback in the NFL, he has a winning record. He's 15-10. I think he's the odds-on favorite to be the starting quarterback. And apparently, Terry Bradshaw thinks highly enough of him to go on a radio station and actually say the Steelers were the failure there and not Kenny Pickett. Just makes it a little more intriguing for me.
I'm going to tell you why I think Kevin Stefanski probably wants him to win the job.
Okay.
It's his turnover to – it's what he did in 23 that was in a little bit impressive. Even though he only had six touchdowns.
He's not throwing a lot of touchdowns.
No, but that year he also didn't throw a lot of interceptions. He threw one interception for every 84 passes in 2023. And when you go back and look at that and compare to his first season – in 2022, when he was a rookie, he threw 9 interceptions and had 389 attempts. So I'm just kind of looking at these numbers off the top of my head. So he has the ability to take care of the football. If you're Kevin Stefanski and you've watched what you've watched over the last couple of years, you are praying for a quarterback that can throw the ball to your team. And I think that Kenny might be in the best position to do that. Don't you think? Like, if I had to prioritize what Kevin Stefanski is looking at, forget about everything else.
Mm-hmm.
What guy is going to take care of the football? What guy is not going to fumble? What guy is not going to throw interceptions? As much as I love Joe Flacco, I know that Joe Flacco, boom, can turn on a dime and he'll give up 3 or 4 picks. Like, we know it. We saw it in the playoff game, and we saw the boom in the playoff game when he was here. Loved him in the regular season, but, man, we saw the Joe Flacco we didn't want to see in the playoffs. As for the other two guys, you know, their book is unwritten. So we don't know what they're going to look like in the pros
and we hope,
as far as taking care of the football.
And we hope they're both terrific.
Yeah.
And let's be honest. I'm not rooting against anybody here, including Flacco. You know, if Joe goes out and he's significantly better than everybody else, great. I just think it's really interesting that you have a Hall of Fame quarterback who basically brings it up when he's asked about something else. Cool Ray is in Bedford. Cool Ray. Welcome.
Cool Ray.
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
We are good.
Yeah, listen, I like Terry Bradshaw as a commentary. I wasn't around to see him play, so, but I do know this: he must be on some kind of strong meds for him to say what he said about Kenny Pickett. Like, real talk, Kenny had opportunity to go somewhere else and win a starting position and couldn't do it.
Wait a minute. He was going up against Jalen Hurts.
Doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. They brought him in there to be the backup.
But if he is as good as Terry just made him seem, it should have been closer than that.
He never had a chance to win that job. Philadelphia's starting quarterback is Jalen Hurts.
When you go somewhere and you're that great of a player, the way Bradshaw's making it seem, like, come on now, like, listen. If he was there, then it doesn't matter what. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that how we judge great quarterbacks? Isn't that how we judge all the greats? Is that no matter what's around him, he elevates the people around him?
I think we judge quarterbacks by their ability to win games and get there. I agree with you. Like, I don't have a problem with your philosophy, but when it's all said and done, it doesn't matter if a quarterback is a jerk or the nicest guy on earth. If they can win games,
right.
And Jalen Hurts can put his hands in front of him and see a Super Bowl ring, right? So,
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, but I mean.
Yes, I know.
I know. Okay, all right. He can put his hands in front of him and go, look, I've got an MVP in the Super Bowl. How's that
sound? My thing is this, though, with this team here, they have to start making hard decisions, start looking in the mirror. We can't. Like, I love my team. I'm like you guys. I remember Brian Sipe, Hozar, all the horrible quarterbacks came in. We, as an organization, we got to start looking at leadership, not players, because we cannot say that we going through all these quarterbacks and can't find one. Now we got 4 on our team. Like, that is ridiculous right now. Even though I know it's preseason, ain't preseason yet, but that is still starting to be ridiculous. And people in the national media is starting to know that too. Like, we got to be real with this one.
I don't know. If you're talking about mirrors, didn't our mirror break in 2022? And how many more years of bad luck do we have left when you brought Watson in? Did the mirror break then? That leaves us, what, 4 more, 5 more seasons?
Terry Bradshaw likes Kenny Pickett, folks. What's that do for you? Jerry's in Mentor. Hello, Jerry.
Jerry.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Well, so wonderfully well, you wouldn't believe it.
Well, look, my vote's Flacco all the way. Sure, he had a bad game in Houston, and he's prone to interception. But compared to the unknowns they have at the position, Joe took us from a team that had nothing and got us to the playoffs. And right now, I think there's the same situation, right?
Oh, Joe was 2-4 as a starter in Indy last year and couldn't hold off Anthony Richardson, who they benched.
If he comes out and wins, if Flacco's a starter week one and wins, the whole train will start rolling again. I don't disagree with that.
Andy, but they got to give him the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
If he goes out and beats these guys out, Jerry, that's fine. You know, I just think that they're looking at Pickett and thinking, this is the guy we would like to see win it. That said, I don't know that they really care. And I say that for this reason. I would think they would want Pickett. If he goes and he doesn't play very well and Dylan Gabriel does, well, then Dylan Gabriel is going to be the starter. Or if Joe Flacco does, he's going to be the starter. They need somebody to step in and play well. And I don't really think they care who it is.
What the heck happened in Pittsburgh? Why did things fall apart?
Well, they didn't fall apart.
Their offense stunk, and then they fired their offensive coordinator.
I can't say that I disagree with Terry Bradshaw on any of the things that he said about what happened in Pittsburgh. How could you? They were a mess.
I agree with that.
They were a mess.
I agree. Bradshaw likes Pickett. Do anything for you, Browns fans? 216-474-0092. And you're going to laugh when you hear what Bradshaw had to say about the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers. We'll have that for you next. Chris Easterling covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal. He'll join us at 11. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.